So, Father God, we thank you that your word comes to us expressly. It comes to us swiftly, powerfully. Thank you for it will not come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Thank you for your words will be inscribed upon our hearts like the pen of a ready writer. And thank you for your anointing descends upon every heart, helping us to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we continue with looking at another image or metaphor of the church. But before I proceed, we've done about 8 so far. And I know some of us have been here for all 8, some of us have been here for some. But for whichever part of the service you were here for, can anybody say particularly what metaphor helps them to really understand what the church is? Which one of the images have we looked at that you felt, oh, that really helps me understand the church? Anyone? God's field. Thanks, Don. God's field, which we did last week. Yeah, so God's field, how we are God's field as the church, where God plants the seed and nurtures and cultivates and we produce fruit. Anybody else? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the one where we looked at the church as God's army and how life is a battleground. Yeah. One more? Anyone? All of it. Okay. So they're all different sides of the elephant. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Charles? Representing God to the people, yeah. Which one is that one? One of those, yeah. I think that probably was the called out one, the very first one we did. Yeah, the called out one. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's really been helpful. So today we are looking at God's building. And you probably could tell from the readings that we've had, talking about building, Paul talking about being a wise master builder and talking about foundation and cornerstone and, you know, all those things that are synonymous with a building. So, next slide, please. The most critical part of any building is its foundation. Do we agree? Because whatever height the building has is determined by the depth of the foundation. So the foundation has to be good, rock solid, to carry the weight of whatever has been built upon it. And Paul, admonishing the Corinthians, said, the job has already been done for you. You don't have to lay the foundation. God has already laid the foundation for our lives. And that foundation is Christ. That foundation is Christ. Everything Jesus lived, died for, and resurrected for is the foundation. So God has done the hardest work for us. Because to get to build a foundation is harder than building on the foundation. If you're in a place with rocks, you will have to blow apart the rocks to really be able to situate the foundation. So God has done the hard bit. And is calling us to build together with him a spiritual house. So Jesus Christ is our foundation. Jesus Christ is our foundation. I don't know if we know this song. It's an old school one. Jesus, you're our firm foundation. Okay. Moving on. But he is our firm foundation, and we can build on him. Because on the cross, he said, "It is finished." All the toil of humanity, up until that point, he carried it upon himself on the cross. He suffered our sufferings. He bore our griefs, our distresses, our pains, our sorrows. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So he became the foundation. But also we are told that he's the cornerstone. Again, I don't know about modern buildings now, but traditionally you have a cornerstone where you now start to build on. Every stone fits with the cornerstone. And if you can see the image there, that big cornerstone, and every other stone is connected to it and built upon it. Again, everything stems from Christ. And everything goes back to Christ. He's the point of reference. So everything stems from him, and everything reverts back to him. He's the cornerstone. So there's the hidden aspect of Christ in our lives. And that's the foundation. You don't see the foundation of many buildings, you don't. So there's what God has done in us that is hidden. That permanent work of being saved, it's hidden. God has done it. It's our root. But then there's also a work that is visible. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine that they may see," who are they? The world. "See your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." In other words, there's a visible aspect of the building that we can see. That is your fruit. That is my fruit. That is the work of Christ through us. There's the work of Christ in us, and there's the work of Christ through us. Now, Paul said, what is really critical here? Because in the Corinthian church, they were fighting over who they loved best. So some said, "I'm with Paul." Some said, "I'm with Peter." Others said, "I'm with Apollos." And he said, look, the foundation is Jesus. So you have to be careful how you build on it. Don't build on personalities. Build on Jesus. And he says, if anyone builds using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, or in some other translations, straw, he said, there will be a day when all what you have used to build will be tested. So next slide. What are you building with? What am I building with? He mentioned six particular things. So we'll divide these three things into two groups. The first group, gold, silver, costly stones, precious stones. Paul said, you can build with that. Or you can build with wood, hay, and stubble, or straw. Now, if you check for the symbolisms of gold, silver, and costly stones in Scripture, you will often find that they always have a spiritual or divine attribute. Gold often refers to royalty, majesty, character. What do we say when something is very good? We say it's as good as gold. We say that thing is as good as gold. So character, purity. Because gold, when it's refined, comes out pure. When the dross and everything has been removed. So gold speaks of perfection. Not a perfection of my human striving, but a perfection that God has gifted me. We call it grace. Silver was a means of exchange in those times. Remember, Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That was a means of exchange at the time. In fact, in Solomon's day, when Solomon was the king of Israel, silver was so common that they always threw it for recycling. It was just too common. Gold was the main thing. So silver is a means of exchange. Silver shows value. It also speaks of redemption. It also speaks of exchange. But more importantly, it speaks of sacrifice. Costly stones. We could think of the gems, the rubies, and all that. But in this context, Paul is talking about marble, graphite, because you use those in building, don't you? And it's costly stones talk about our priesthood. Talk about our ability to serve, the gifts of God, the spiritual gifts that God gives us, the talents God's given us. So Paul is saying, if you're going to build, build with the grace of God. Build with purity, with character, with sacrifice. Build with service that stems from a divine origin, that comes as a result of God's grace, God's goodness. Next slide, please. So those are spiritual material that we can build with. But then he said there's also wood, hay, and stubble, or straw. Now, the reason why Paul used these particular materials was because in the ancient Roman Empire, where you go to the cities, you will find lovely houses made of stone, you know, costly stones. You'll find big buildings of importance overlaid with gold and silver. And then they had what they call the slave quarters. The ghetto, where people's houses, the slaves were, their houses were made of wood, hay, and straw. Very poor quality. If fire were set to their houses, it will go in an instant. Wood speaks of our frail humanity. Our fragile humanity, our corruptible humanity. Hay talks about how transitory life is. And Straw just talks of our poverty without God. So if we try to build with our human strength, thinking we can please God with our human strength, it will be tested. Because there's a day called the Day of Judgment, where God isn't judging us to hell, God is judging the works of our hands. He wants to see how well we built, because he already gave us the foundation. So how well did you build? And what will he use to test? Fire. If you put fire to gold, what happens to gold? It comes out better. If you put fire to silver, it comes out better. If you put fire to costly stones, they come out better. But if you put fire to wood, hay, and straw, nothing will be left except you, because you've been saved, because there's the foundation. So Paul says, don't wait till that day. Build rightly now. Because God wants to inhabit his building. Imagine you've given somebody the job of building a house for you. You know, you want to get there and find out that he's used the best material, or she's used the best material. You want to get there and find out that the quality of the house is what you paid for. There's a story of a man who met his prospective son-in-law who was a builder. And after getting to know him for a while, he gave him a project to build a house. And the son-in-law thought he could make a quick buck and use very poor material. And on their wedding day, he took the keys of the house and he handed it to the son-in-law. Said, that's your gift. And son-in-law was like, If he had known, he would have used the best. But now he's going to end up with a rickety house. Because he tried to build and save money. Not saving money, he wanted to make more money out of it. But he cheated himself out of it. So we'll cheat ourselves out of our inheritance if we build using the wrong material. Now, what is this house God really wants to build? Next slide, please. That's the house. The house is Jesus. We only use the metaphor just to help us understand that God wants your life to be like Christ in every way. Be like Christ in every way. Because this house is a spiritual house. A house that God has tested and is qualified. And God wants you to build the same thing. You see, God told Moses, he said, I want you to build a tabernacle according to the pattern in heaven. Build exactly according to them. And God gave him the measurements to build the tabernacle according to the one in heaven. And the tabernacle had three aspects to it. The outer court, where there were sacrifices and everything. And then there was the holy place, where the priests entered and they ministered. And then there was the most holy place, where only the high priest could enter, where there was the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God. And do you know what that tabernacle represented? Jesus. It's about the human being, your body, the outer court, your soul, the holy place, your spirit, the most holy place. It was a pattern of a person. It was a pattern of a person. That's why he said in Ephesians 2 that I read, he said, in his body, he has brought both Jews and Gentiles together and made one new humanity where it's no longer about race. It's no longer about class. It's no longer about sex or gender. It's about Christ. That is the house God wants to build. Yes, Charles? What do you think the key is? So I'll end on that note. God is building a house. The house is a person. The house is Christ. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. And he is the temple of God. You just be a living stone and find your place. Make sure you're building with gold, with silver, with costly stones, sacrifice, serving him with the right spirit, character. Because when fire tests those things, they would only become better. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us understand the church in a new way. You've totally done everything we need to know and everything we need to do. Our place is just to fit. Just like the builder would lay the stone to fit. Our job is just to build to fit. You've already done the work. Ours is just to fit in. Help us to fit in, Lord. Help us to know that which is not of the spirit, that which is of the flesh. And help us to just put those things aside and to really put on the things that are of the spirit so that we can just fit in the building. So that Christ will be really fully and truly seen in our lives and in the lives of those we love. So help us, Holy Spirit. Help us. Help us to keep looking at Jesus, the template, the blueprint, so that we can always fit in the building. In Jesus' name, amen.